Right now, we have a very special guest, the one and only Bobby Leonarduzzi from the Vancouver Whitecaps president. Thanks for joining us here on The Playbook. It's the first time we're talking to you on this show, Bobby. Thanks for joining us today.
I was actually thinking back and wondering if I had been on, but you've confirmed that I haven't been. So
yes.
Nice debut. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so are we. And I am looking forward to another soccer season. You guys, the training camp's getting going. You got all the guys together here. Let's just start off with how the offseason went. Do you feel like enough was done to put this club in a position to be in the race for the MLS Cup next year?
Yeah, I think that we've added in the positions that we felt we needed to reinforce, and I think that that starts from the keeping position out. Middle of last season, Stefan Marinovic got himself into the squad and performed well, and as a result, you know, we looked at him being the keeper of the future for us. And the fact that we could pick up Alan Rowe from LA, who's been a starter there for the previous two seasons, was a significant pickup as well. It doesn't really register that much out there in the community, but you know, he's a guy that is going to push Marinovic, and I think that that's always healthy when you've got a competition for places. And then if you look at the middle of the back, you know, we've got Austin and Parker, you know, two of the better center backs in the league. And the pickup of Daniil Henry, although he's had a couple of difficult years abroad, I think that that's one that could really, really pay dividends for us. I liked him when he was at TFC and made the move to West Ham. And unfortunately, as a result of injuries, didn't really get the opportunity that he was looking for. And so as a result, he's back. But, you know, I was at training yesterday, and I see that he's really, really focused on doing well and getting his career back on track. And then in the middle of the park, we signed Ali Ghazal in the middle of last year, and we know that it's difficult to come in halfway through the season. But in his case, I thought he hit the ground running, but I do believe that with a full preseason that we're going to see even more from him. And then the other key signing that we made, it was Juarez from Mexico, and great pedigree, great individual, a leader both on and off the field. And I think that that's something that, you know, we can certainly have more of, which I think he will provide to us. And then up top, you've got Camara and Blondell. Camara is a known quantity, scored 12 goals in each of the last two seasons, 26 the season before that. So he's proven he can score goals, and I think the way we play and that we'd like to get crosses into the box, that he's going to relish that. And then Blundell is a young player, scored 24 goals, but we know that he's going to require a transition, and we hope that he can make that transition and do what he did in Venezuela in MLS.
Right, and I think one thing that I've been looking at your club, it's last year, you know, when you had Teixeira, you had Reyna, and you had Montero all going, the attack was really good in the final third. How do you feel about your attacking midfield this season? I know you still have Reyna in the fold and his situation, you still have Teixeira, and you talked about the strikers, but do you feel like that attacking midfield is going to be strong enough to really finish teams off in that final third?
Well, the benefit we have this year is we have Reyna for a whole season,
mm-hmm.
and I think that you can look back at last season, and it's evident that when he got himself healthy halfway through the year, that he produced almost immediately, and as a result, our success was better as a result of that. So I think a full season of Reyna will provide certainly more of a more input from a attacking point of view. Juarez is a player that we think has way more of an upside from an attacking point of view. That's the position that he likes to play. He likes to go box to box, and he had been playing right back at the end of his stay in Mexico, but he's delighted that we're looking at him as a midfielder and providing the leeway for him to get forward from that position. He's very, very good in terms of possession, and that's something that, you know, we could do with more of, but you need the players to do that, and we think that he's capable of that. So having said that, you know, we're still looking, and you know, we're not finished yet in terms of adding players to the squad. It may be that this is the start squad that starts the season, but for us, you're always looking to add key people to your team to make you better.
And you recently did add on to the back line a little bit through the super draft, Justin Fedes in the first round, a defender from the Huskies, just flat out fast is what I'm hearing about the scouting reports. And then 9 picks later, Lucas Stauffer, another defender. Now, it's hard to look at Jake Nowinski and say, oh, yeah, go and do what Jake did, because what he did last season was just remarkable for a first-year mm-hmm. player. But is there at least some sort of precedent now, and you look at these guys and say, hey, you know, it's not impossible. It's not out of reach. So maybe there's a challenge for them to try and just be their best.
Well, the encouraging thing is, aside from their technical and physical attributes, is they're both solid kids, just real, real good personalities, and just desperate to do well. And I think in, I don't want to sound like an old man here, but I think in young people these days, you a lot of it is, okay, you know, I think it's time for me to start, so put me in the lineup, as opposed to, you know, demonstrating that you're capable of making that jump. And in these two guys, I think that that's what we're going to see. And it's safe that they can look not only at Nowinski, but at Timmy Parker mm-hmm. three seasons ago. And he was a 13th round pick and has had a stellar career with us and is in the national team squad now. So there's good examples that they can draw from. And fortunately for them, there's others at teams in MLS, but in their case, they've got two guys to the club that they've come to that have shown that if you go about it the right way, that the reward is there.
Now, I don't want to set a deadline or some sort of expiration date, but this could end up becoming the final season in the MLS for Alphonso Davies. He could attract a number of teams all over the world, depending on his play and his performance. He still has yet to score in the MLS regular season, but are you expecting him to be a staple in the 11 moving forward for the season? Or is it kind of up to how he performs here in preseason and training camp?
Well, I'm sure if he's not listening, he'll listen later. So he needs to earn the spot. And he has all the tools to do that. I think last year, in spite of the fact that we would have preferred him to go through the whole year like he started, I think last year was one of those seasons where he had some real highs and then not necessarily low lows, but he found that after he had established himself as a player that needed to be looked after from an opposition's point of view, that it was more difficult for him. But he'll adjust to that. I think that, you know, having the peaks and the valleys from last season will be a good experience that he will definitely be able to draw on for this upcoming season. But the expectation is that if he comes in and he does what we know he can do, then it's more than likely he's going to earn himself a starting spot. But he has to earn that starting spot.
We are in conversation with Bobby Lenarduzzi, the president of the Vancouver Whitecaps, here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. Now, it's a good sign that your standing in this marketplace is growing, because there are a lot more critics and armchair quarterbacks who are ready to always nitpick at any move Carl Robinson makes. But if you're looking at the way the club played, and at times last season they were really exciting to watch, how do you sort of balance the trying to be entertaining, trying to be fun to watch, being a team that fans are excited to watch on a game in and game out basis, and also trying to win? How hard is that to balance as a head coach in the MLS?
Yeah, it's. I mean, the business that we're in is a results-oriented business, and you know, you can play well and miss the playoffs. But I don't think that you're going to get credit from the people out there that want to see entertaining football, but at the expense of not having success and achieving what you need to in making the playoffs and ideally having a run in the playoffs. So there is a balance there, and you need to be hard to play against, but you also need to have the tools to be able to open up other teams. And so for us, that's what we want to try to achieve. We want to ensure that we are entertaining, and in particular at home, because they're the ones that the fans that see you over the course of 17 games. And I think that last year, the majority of our home games were entertaining, and we had some games where, and in particular the NYFC game where we were one down at the, or we were actually 2-1 down at the half, and we came back to win that 3-2. That was very, very exciting. I mean, if we could replicate something like the San Jose performance on a regular basis, everyone would be happy. But you know, that certainly isn't going to happen. But yeah, there is a balance, and you want to try to play well, but at the same time, you need to pick up those results.
Now, before we let you go, John's going to ask you a question too, but I want to ask you an EPL question, because I'm looking at what's happening with Manchester City and Manchester United. Those two clubs are spending way more money than anybody else in the Premier League right now. Antonio Conte, from my favorite team, the Chelsea Blues, pretty much just said, yeah, well, you got to concede the PL to those two Manchester clubs right now. Are we going to see a bigger discrepancy in the Premier League with those two clubs becoming like Real Madrid and Barcelona have in Spain? Or do you still think that gap's going to get more narrow at some point here?
I think it's the former. I think that the spending that takes place and the willingness to do that, the squad size of those clubs where you could put out a second 11 and still have relative success in the Premiership, I think that that's just the way that things are going. And there are some clubs that are going to be able to do that, and then there are others that are not. And in the case of those clubs that are not, there's still an excitement from the supporters to support them, and so it's reality. Is it something that you'd prefer was different and there was more parity? Yeah, absolutely. But there's still enough to play for. I mean, the Premiership is a great example of you can be in mid-table and with a few wins find yourself in the Champions League spot. So winning the Premiership is great, but also finishing in that top four is important. Staying in the Premiership is financially important for clubs that are hanging on and trying to stay there. So throughout the whole of the season, it's actually interesting, in spite of the fact that you've got Man City and to a lesser extent Man United separating themselves from the others.
Bob, last week your team did make a surprise announcement that Nosa Igbor will not return for the season. The contract option declined. Now, he joined your club late last year, didn't get into a lot of games, but he did play against the Sounders in the Western Conference semifinals. A lot of people just sort of curious about that decision and what might have transpired from when he joined your team late summer and what happened leading up to last week.
Yeah, and the one thing that I'm not going to do is get into the details. Other than to suggest from a broader perspective that there were some things that arose once we got to the conclusion of the season that we were concerned about. Nosa and his agent also had some things that they were interested to discuss. And ultimately, we couldn't reach an amicable solution to move forward, and as a result we parted ways.
Bobby Leonarduzzi, president of the Vancouver Whitecaps, thank you for making your debut here on the Playbook with myself and John Jang, and hopefully we'll talk again soon, and hopefully it's a prosperous Whitecap season coming
up. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. That is Bobby Leonarduzzi, president of the Vancouver Whitecaps.